Well, I can't tell you how excited I am, because the first time I didn't think anybody would come. And the second time, it's so neat you all came back. So I thank you so much. Welcome, welcome, welcome to session two, part A. We're going to have two parts to it. First one will be about 40 minutes, then we'll take a break, and then we'll have another maybe 45 minutes. We're talking about some important things today, really, really important things. Last session, we learned that the way we live our lives here and now will have eternal and unchangeable consequences in the next life. In other words, what we do here after we're born again affects our role, our position, our place in the coming millennial kingdom. Now, this millennial kingdom that we're going to talk a lot about in this class is not heaven. Listen, don't get it confused with heaven. We're not talking paradise. There will be unbelievers in the millennium. All the believers will go in, but the mortal believers will have children. And those children will have a choice whether they're going to go with God or not. So there will be unbelievers. So we're not talking paradise here or heaven. We're just talking the millennial kingdom, which is a kingdom that will exist back here on earth for 1,000 years where Jesus Christ will reign in person. So don't get the millennium mixed up with heaven. We learn that all believers will be with Christ in the millennium, but only the overcomers, and we made a definition as to what an overcomer is. An overcomer is simply one who recognizes his choices and chooses to follow Christ moment by moment by moment. That's an overcomer. And we're going to talk about how they fail and how they don't make the right choices sometimes, but eventually they choose to come back and follow Christ with their choices. And that's what an overcomer is. So all believers will be with Christ in the millennium, but only the overcomers, only the ones who constantly recognize their choices and choose to turn around and follow Christ, will inherit levels of responsibility in that kingdom. So, hear me clearly, not only our rewards, but also our place of responsibility in the future kingdom will be won or lost according to our faithfulness in this life. That's huge. Not only our rewards, but our place of responsibility. We talked about there'll be levels of responsibility. Some will be close to Jesus, some will be a little bit farther apart. And we're going to talk about that a lot today. Now, this life is the training ground for the next life. Now, we're not taught that in a lot of our churches today and a lot of our Bible studies. So there is an urgent need in the Christian body for a renewed recognition of our own accountability. We need a refreshed understanding of why we were called. Why did God call us? What's the hope of our salvation? We need to understand our inheritance in Christ. Okay, now this is really, really an important subject. Future inheritance in the millennial kingdom is one of the major themes of the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why the Bible just come alive for me, as I've gotten more and more into this material. Old Testament passages, New Testament passages, ones I knew and read for years before have just come alive to me. There are 1,500 verses in the Old Testament and hundreds in the New that talk about this millennial kingdom and the importance of being able to inherit it. But what makes this subject of inheritance rather confusing is that the Bible uses the word inherit or inheritance in a couple of different ways. And that's what we want to understand, because that way we won't get this confused. Number one, the Bible speaks of an inheritance by birth. This is very important. This is called a sonship inheritance. And this is an inheritance simply because we are sons of God. It means we're born again. It means we're justified. We have the Spirit of God in our hearts. Therefore, we have God as our inheritance. Galatians 4:7 is your scripture there. And it says, "Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So inheritance by birth, listen to me, is a free gift. No works are needed. Inheritance by birth is a free gift. No works are needed. It guarantees us eternal life. And it's open to absolutely everyone. Anyone who wants to can accept this. This is an unconditional inheritance. Once you were a son, you will always remain a son, no matter what you do. For example, in a family, if you have a child, maybe the child gets into some trouble, gets into prison, he still remains your child, even though he's in trouble. He always will remain your child. So that's the first type of inheritance, inheritance by birth, simply because we're sons of God. Number two, the second type of inheritance, which is the one that we want to consider, the one that we are talking about here, is called an inheritance from the Lord. This is an inheritance given by the Lord because of faithfulness, because of obedience, and because of perseverance. In other words, this type of inheritance is an earned inheritance. It entitles us to positions, to rewards, to authority, and to blessings in the millennial kingdom. This is why we want to concentrate this. It's a conditional inheritance because there are requirements. Now listen, take down some of these scriptures. In the Old Testament, inheriting the land and other blessings was always conditioned upon, it was always conditional, conditioned upon something. Deuteronomy 6:18 says, if they, meaning the Israelites, will do good and right, then they will not only go into the land, but they'll possess it. Deuteronomy 19:9-10, if they shall keep the commandments, then they will inherit the land. Exodus 15:2, If you will diligently hearken to my voice and will do what is right in my sight and keep all my statutes, then I will put none of these diseases upon you. In other words, inheritance from the Lord is always conditioned upon behavior. And this is the type of inheritance we're going to focus on here. In the New Testament, Matthew 24:43, if we're faithful, then he will make us ruler over all his goods. Hebrews 3:14, if we persevere to the end, then he will make us partakers of Christ. Romans 8:17, if we suffer, then we will be joint heirs. Some conditions to this kind of inheritance. So all Christians are sons of God and therefore have a free gift of an inheritance by birth, and that they can never lose. But not all Christians will receive an inheritance from the Lord because it is earned. Do you follow what I'm saying? There's a totally different type of inheritance here. Let me give you a personal example. It's appropriate today. I'm going to tell you a little story about my mom. This outfit, which a lot of you have commented on, belonged to my mom. It's probably about 20 years old, but it's one that she had on one day, and I said, oh, Mom, that's the most beautiful, beautiful jacket, and my mom took it off and gave it to me. My mom and I had one of these relationships that is storybook. We were best friends for over 60 years, never a harsh word between us. The only one day I remember her not speaking to me was when she heard Chuck and I might move to New Zealand. Talked every day. We had just an incredible relationship, just one that you read in the storybooks. She was my best friend. In November of 2001, we found out she had pancreatic cancer, and I flew down to California to be with her. She passed away January 4th of 2002. And the reason I bring this up is because the inheritances that my brother and I received from my mom remind me very much of the difference between the inheritance from the Lord and an inheritance by birth. In my mom's will, my brother and I received sonship inheritance. In other words, we received her car. We split it, you know, appropriately. Her car, her house, her investments, the physical things. And that is because we are children. And so we had our sonship heirs, inheritance there. But the following day, we happened to be at the lawyer's office. And he said, you need to both of you go down to her safe deposit box because she's left you something there very special. Neither of us knew what he was talking about. So we went down to the safe deposit box. We opened it up, and there were two love letters from my mom, one to my brother and one to myself. And in those love letters, she told us how much she loved us. There were pages on what we had meant to her, how much she loved us, and how she would always be with us. But in my particular letter, there was a special gift of a gold ring with a diamond cross on it that my dad had given her for their 50th anniversary. And she gave it to me, and she said, it's because of the love that you and I shared. And to me, that's just real graphic of the difference between a sonship inheritance and an inheritance from the Lord. It reminds me in a small way of what it might be when we get an inheritance from the Lord. God says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Those gold rings will be in our envelope when we get an inheritance from the Lord because of the relationship, the love relationship that we shared with him here. So this second type of inheritance is something that is an addition to and is obtained by obedience, faithfulness, and perseverance. It includes not only entering the kingdom, but also inheriting different levels of responsibility. Colossians 3:24, put this one down. It's really a good one. It calls this second type of inheritance the reward of inheritance. Colossians 3:21 calls it a reward of inheritance. Again, this is our hope of salvation. Okay, so there's a huge difference between simply entering the kingdom and inheriting, and they are not the same thing at all. We enter, come into that kingdom at our new birth because we have God's Spirit, but we inherit that kingdom as a reward for an obedient and faithful lifestyle here, for being an overcomer, for making choices to live Christ's life, like we talked about last week, that gold beam of light coming forth. Now, we don't do it perfectly, but at least we recognize our choices. That's all an overcomer is, one who recognizes his choices, chooses to turn around and go Christ's way. Not my will, but thine. Another way of saying this is that all Christians are heirs of God. They get the houses, they get the cars, they get the investments from the Lord. But not all Christians will inherit the kingdom from him and get those love letters. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see the difference? It's important. So when you read inheritance in the scripture, be sure and check out which inheritance it's talking about. Okay, so what we're saying is that we cannot lose our eternal life. Once we're born again, we are born again. That Spirit of God is in us. He doesn't take that Spirit of God out of us. But we can lose our rewards and our positions of authority in that kingdom by our lifestyle here. Listen to 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Tim LaHaye, in his book, the popular Bible prophecy book, he says, 2 John warns us that it's possible to lose those things we have worked for. Although we will not lose our salvation, it is possible to forfeit our rewards by indulging in temptation. And again, Colossians 3:21 calls it our reward of inheritance. Consequently, inheriting the kingdom is conditioned upon our spiritual walk here, not just our beliefs. Our inheriting the kingdom is conditioned on our spiritual walk, not just our beliefs. Listen, to believe something is easy. It means to mentally ascribe to something. Whereas to be obedient, to be faithful, to be persevering means seeing that belief acted out in our lives. Not just letting it stay, I believe such a thing, but actually changing our lives so that people can look at our life and say, I see Christ. I see Jesus. Now again, not acted out perfectly. Last week we said that an overcomer is simply one who recognizes his choices and chooses to turn around. He's not perfect. Remember David in the Old Testament. David is a perfect example of an overcomer. David blew it big time. He blew it big time, and yet what does the New Testament call him? Calls him a man after God's own heart. He is an example of an overcomer. Somebody who blows it, but recognizes that, chooses to turn around, repents, and gets back on the highway. So to be obedient not only means hearing his will, but actually choosing to do his will. Not only hearing, not only reading it, but actually putting it into practice in your life. Must do that. It's the only way that the body of Christ is going to turn around, is going to have a revival, is to be able to get what we know in our heads down in our lives. That's the only way the others are going to say, what you got is what I want. Believing it, sharing it, talking about it is not going to do it. It's going to get you excited, but then God wants changed lives. Luke 6:46, put this one down. It's a good one. Why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I tell you to do? Why do we call him? Why do we call Jesus Lord if we don't actually do what he tells us to do? We must actually make the choices to be sanctified, make the choices to be partakers of his life, make the choices to be faithful and to be overcomers. Remember last week, those of you that weren't there, we said there is a ladder to the kingdom. We said when we learn to be sanctified, which simply means be clean, be an open vessel, that is going to lead us to partaking of Christ's life. When that gold, remember those of you who were here, that gold light comes forth, partaking of Christ's life. That then will lead us to becoming overcomers, because Jesus is the real overcomer. And overcomer is going to lead us to becoming, to inheriting. So remember that. Sanctification leads to partaking. Partaking leads to overcoming. And overcoming leads to inheriting. Try and remember that. It's really, really important. That's our ladder to this, to the kingdom. So the second type of inheritance from God is a very precious commodity because it can be lost. Let me give you some examples in Scripture. Esau, Genesis 27, 35 through 40. He forfeited his birthright and his blessings because of disobedience, but not his sonship. Forfeited his birthright and the blessings that he was going to get because of disobedience, but not his sonship. Reuben, 1 Chronicles 5, 1, defiled his father's bread and thus again forfeited his birthright, was taken away from him, given to the priesthood of Levi, but nevertheless he retained his sonship. Moses, what a example. Deuteronomy 4, 21 through 22. God expresses his anger at Moses for striking the rock and misrepresenting his character, misrepresenting God's character. As a recompense, God disqualifies Moses from inheriting the land. After all Moses did, he was disqualified from getting an inheritance from the Lord. Finally, there were 2 million Israelites, 2 million Israelites who were supposed to inherit the blessings of the promised land, but they failed to do so because of a lack of faith. They were saved. They'd all put the blood on the doorposts of their home, but they were unable to receive the inheritance and go into the promised land. The promised land is also a foreshadow of the millennial kingdom. It's a foreshadow of the millennial kingdom. So they were unable to go into the promised land because of doubt, because of disobedience, and because of unfaithfulness. Only 2 out of 2 million, only Caleb and Joshua, were able to go in to the promised land. Pretty scary. These scriptural examples infer that we too can forfeit our inheritance from God and be disqualified. We can forfeit our inheritance, not a sonship inheritance, but our inheritance from the Lord, those love gifts, those love letters, and be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15 says, it's talking about the judgment seat, and it says, every man's work shall be made manifest at the judgment seat, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul takes this even further, and in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, know you not, you all are running the race, but there's only one that's going to receive the prize. Think of those 2 million Israelites. And only 2 receive the prize. Then Paul exhorts them, so run so that you may receive the prize. And again, what is the prize? What did we talk about last week? What is the prize? The prize is the mark of the high calling of God. It's our inheritance in Christ. Philippians 3:14 tells us the prize is the mark of the high calling of God. It's co-reigning with Christ. It's having a level of responsibility in that millennial kingdom next to Christ. It's enjoying the blessings that he has for us. It's enjoying the intimacy. How many of you want to be intimate? Can you imagine Can you imagine what it will be like if we're intimate now, if we have intimacy with Jesus now, and we don't see him like that song said this morning? Can you imagine when we do see him, to have intimacy with him? I can't even imagine what that's like. And the rest that God has promised for us. This is our hope realized that we talked about last week. New Testament tells us that this is a prize and a gift are two different things. A gift is something that's bestowed upon someone without a price and without a cost, like our justification. A gift is something that is bestowed upon someone without a price and without a cost, and that's like our justification. Whereas a prize is something that is gained through performance. A prize is something that is gained through performance, like our sanctification. 2 million Israelites never gained the prize of the high calling of Christ. They were saved, they were delivered out of Egypt, but only two received the prize of that high calling. That prize of the high calling of Christ must be sought with everything we have. We're going to read a little bit how Paul agonized for it. He worked for it. He labored for it. We will labor for our sanctification, not for justification. That's totally already done, like we talked about last week. No works are needed. But when we're talking about inheritance from the Lord, the second type of inheritance, that comes with being sanctified. Okay, who will inherit? And when we refer to Christians who will inherit the kingdom, we'll be referring to those Christians or those believers who are sanctified, who are partaking of Christ's life, who are overcomers. And you can see on the top line there, they will inherit the kingdom, they're sanctified ones, the overcomers. When we refer to the ones who only enter the kingdom, they will be with Christ. They enter the kingdom, we'll be referring to those who have not been obedient down here, who have not been faithful here, who have not been persevering with their walk. They're nominal Christians, they're lukewarm Christians, they're backsliding Christians, they're Christians or believers who had fruit in their lives at one time. They are born again. There was fruit there. But they have chosen not to recognize their daily choices. And therefore, they've backslidden. I don't know if about you, but one day will take me back. You know, it's not like you get to be 51 years as a Christian and then you can just sail. It's every day, moment by moment, choice by choice by choice is what makes you sanctified. So these nominal Christians have quenched the Spirit in their hearts, and as a result, rather than be an overcomer, they have become overtaken. Rather than being an overcomer in this life, they have become overtaken. Now, when we talk about quenching the Spirit, I want to bring this really home to you. So real quickly, I want to go back to that first justification chart we did last week. When we're first saved, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and save us, Spirit comes into our life. Do you see that little gold Spirit to start with? That Spirit is in this. But notice the soul, which is the second ring here, has not been changed at all. Still our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own desires. No change at all. The sanctification process then comes along, and that's where we choose moment by moment to recognize when we've quenched the Spirit and choose to go God's way. This is the sanctification process. This is where God's life begins to come forth. We learn to begin to live Christ's life. We're beginning to be conformed into his image. But when we stop for even a day recognizing our choices, that's what we look like. And I want you to look at that chart really good, because you notice the Spirit is still there. God's Spirit is still there. The heart, God's eternal light is still, life is still in our hearts. But because we've made emotional choices to follow what we want, what we desire, what we think, God's life has stopped. And so what comes forth from us is self-life. And yet we put the smiles on and we say, hey, we're believers, and non-believers look at us and go, I don't see anything different from you than the people down the street. And it's because, yeah, God's in us, but look what's coming forth. No fruit. So this is what quenching the Spirit looks like. This is a believer who has a new spirit, new heart, but because he's made emotional choices to follow what he wants rather than what God wants, the Spirit gets quenched. So rather than a beam of light, which is like that, that's what God wants, this is what comes forth. And I'm going to call this a black shadow. Rather than the beam of light, so in the class, when we talk about beam of light, that's what I meant. Rather than that, it, comes forth with a black shadow. These are the ones, if they don't recognize their choices and they don't choose to turn around, they will only enter the kingdom. They're kids. They will be with him. You know, we go to prison wherever we are. We're still family. We're still kids. But they won't be given levels of responsibility. So God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. This is what this chart shows, where we make choices to follow what God wants, saying, not my will, but thine, God. You don't have to feel it. Someone said this morning to me, I'll pray that God will make me willing. No. You say, God, I choose to be willing now. If you're going to pray for God to make you emotionally willing, you might wait years. Set the emotions aside. We're going to talk about this in the class, how God has given us the authority and the power to make choices we don't feel, choices we don't want to make, choices we don't think will work. And yet when we choose, God is faithful to pour forth that life through us and produce fruit anyway. So when we refer to Christians who inherit the kingdom, these are the kind of Christians that we're talking about. Again, they're not perfect. You know, the light doesn't always stay on. I'll tell you, that light, I don't know one day maybe that I've stayed like that all day. Jesus does that. I don't do that. I go back and forth and back and forth. But I recognize my choices, and I know what to do to turn around and let that light come forth. So these are the overcomers that have recognized their choices, and they've learned to let Jesus, who is the perfect one, come forth. Overcomers are not perfect. Overcomers are simply ones that recognize their choices so Jesus can come forth, who is the perfect one. Okay, so what are some of the requirements for inheriting? One of the most common questions I get asked is, what can I do to be worthy to inherit the kingdom? Okay, let's get to some practical things. First of all, we need to decide and decipher what the word worthy means. The word worthy is often used with inheriting the kingdom. So we need to understand what the word worthy really means, because it's used in many different ways. Two Greek words for the word worthy. Number one, the Greek word is, and I'm terrible with Greek, kataxio, I guess you pronounce it, kataxio, but it's there on your screen, kataxio, which means we are counted worthy. It means to be deemed entirely deserving. We're counted worthy only because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He has redeemed us. He has imputed his righteousness to us, and he has given us his holiness. In other words, he is the one who is worthy. We are only counted worthy, remember that term, counted worthy, because of what he has done for us. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy, there's that kataxio again, counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of God. In other words, all true Christians, all true believers are accounted worthy to escape the things that are going to come and stand before the Lord. That's all believers. If you have Jesus Christ in you, if you are justified, you are accounted worthy because Christ is in you. First kind of worthy. Second kind of worthy, and the one I'm going to be referring to over and over and over again, is the Greek word axios. Axios. And that means worthy of, on grounds of being fit, meet, and prepared. We're worthy because we are prepared. That word prepared, it's amazing how much it is. It pops up in Scripture. Revelation 3:4 talks about the church of Sardis, and he says, I have a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk before me in white, for they are worthy. And this means they are worthy of inheriting the kingdom because they're fit, they're prepared, they're ready, they're sanctified. They're partaking of Christ's life. They're overcomers. They're qualified to inherit and to reign, have those levels of responsibility. So what are some of the qualifications there? What are some of the things that we need to do, some of the requirements? Here's a list at the top of this chart up here of some of the things that the Bible says we need to attend to, each of us need to attend to, in order to be worthy of, that second type, that axios, in order to be prepared, in order to be ready to inherit the kingdom. Most of the things on this list, we will cover the practical application of in this class. So by the time you're through in this class, you will be able to tell me exactly. But some of the things are that God looks at is sanctification. He wants to see his believers transformed, prepared. He wants to see us partaking of his life. He wants to see us overcomers. He wants to see us fruitful, big, fruitful. We're going to talk a lot about that. He wants to see us obedient, faithful, those that abide, stay with him, those that deny themselves and don't deny Christ by our actions. Now, if you look at that list, one person saw that list in the book one time, and he says,
there's no way in the world I can do that. There's no way in the entire world.
You know, it's totally impossible. I want you to remember my friend last week we talked about who's in prison. Remember my friend. If he, in prison, without much temporal hope, can learn to be sanctified, can learn to be a partaker of Christ's life, can learn to be an overcomer. Any of us can. Any of us can. It just seems to come down to our moment-by-moment choice. If he can learn to be a sanctifier, partaker in Christ's life, in his situation, any of us can. If we can just learn how to recognize it when we blow it. Bottom line, ask the Holy Spirit every single day, tell you when you revert back to this. Tap me on the shoulder, Lord. Show me that I have quenched the Spirit, because I want to turn around and go your way. And God then will do the rest. He's the one that will sanctify us. He's the one that will make us partakers of his life. He's the one that will help us persevere to the end. We need to choose. He then does. We need to say, God, here is an empty vessel. You do it through me. And he will. It's his will, but it's always our choice. Sobering part of all of this is our eternal destiny depends upon these daily, moment-by-moment choices. That's why I wrote a little book called The Key. And the key is simply how to stay an open channel so God can use you no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter how that other person responds to you, and no matter how you feel, you'll be able to stay this way. Life, this life here, is the testing ground for the coming kingdom. The prize is reigning, having those levels of responsibility with Jesus Christ. So learning how to do the above things that we just talked about, sanctification, partaking of his life, and overcoming in a practical way is what this class is all about. I don't want to just tell you these principles and then leave you. I'm going to try, praise God, hopefully share how to do these things so that you can become an overcomer. So learning to do these things will not only have a profound effect on our lives here and now as we learn to become this open channel and God's life begins to flow through us, but it will have a profound effect on where we spend eternity and where we spend the kingdom. Proverbs 13:12 that we talked about last week, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But it says when that hope, when we realize our inheritance in Christ, when that's realized, it will become a tree of life. And it certainly has in my life, and that's what I want to give to you. So we're going to break now. It's 11:15. We'll break for about 10 minutes, but after the break, get lots of coffee, get lots of notes, because we're going to talk about promises to the overcomers, Paul's fear of being a castaway. We're going to talk about the parables of the 10 talents, being cast to the outer darkness, comments about these parables from theologians. So get your thinking caps on, get a good break, and I'll see you in a few minutes, okay? Okay.